All right, everybody, welcome to the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. So good to have you here on this beautiful weekend day. I am Nima Vidani, broadcasting live from the Texas Hill Country. We've got Michael W. Dean out there in the Wormabago. Where are you at today, Michael?
We're in an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America, somewhere near Wyoming. And we just picked up the Casper Star Tribune, or as we call it, the Red Star. What do we call it?
The Prairie Casper Red Star Tribune.
The Prairie Pravda.
Or the Prairie Pravda. Yeah.
And we looked at it, and there wasn't really any news. It was just like, you know, telling you why everything the state is doing is good. So we went to WyomingGunOwners.org. And even if you're not in Wyoming, you should go to WyomingGunOwners.org and read all the good stuff there, because that's like the only gun rights organization I'm a member of. And this is not a live read. I'm not being paid to do this. We like them. They're good people. And they expose kind of some kind of gun grabby stuff that happens in smoky back rooms that you don't even know about, that's probably happening in your town. And we want to welcome a new town today, don't we? We want to welcome Northwest New Mexico's News Talk Leader, 1390 AM, 92.1 FM, KENN in Farmington, New Mexico.
Yeah, welcome Farmington. So good. I love how we're all over the West, both mountain and south now. Yep. Southwest and mountain west. It's a beautiful thing.
We're all over the map. Our the things we talk about are all over the map, but they're all about liberty. So here's what I want to talk about is the mayor of San Francisco, Kanine Schlager. I used to call her
San Francisco.
Did I say San Francisco?
You mean Casper,
yeah,
Wyoming.
It might as well be. Yeah, I don't live there anymore, so I can talk about it. But I used to live there, and you used to live there. And their mayor was named Kanine Schlager. I call her Kanye Schlager, but you don't like
well,
that.
Well, her term has ended, but yeah, she was the most recent mayor. The new one, I guess, is Paul Meyer.
And instead of doing what, you know, even in a minarchist sense, politicians should do, which is do some public service and then step down and go back to the civilian life, she's a professional politician. She wants to stick in there, kind of like the tyranny Marines. Wherever there is an opening for tyranny, they will put boots on the ground and send a professional politician, because she is running for city council now. And WyomingGunOwners.org has an expose about her alleged, I wouldn't even say alleged, it's actual connections to a really, really gun-grabby group called the
National League of Cities.
Yeah, they're George Soros is connected with them. And if you know anything about him, you know he's not a good guy. The National League of Cities is this kind of like, they go find mayors and try to help them become more statist and make the state bigger. And they have two main agendas, and one is gun control. They want to require registration of all handguns, ban on scary black rifles, 30-day waiting period, sales and transfers only by gun dealers, closing the so-called gun show loophole, and limit magazine capacity to 10 rounds. That's on their website, on the National League of Cities.
Now, here's the weird thing, though, is in Wyoming, they have, I don't remember if it's called the preemption statutes or what, but I thought in Wyoming, the municipalities and the cities couldn't make any gun laws that were more restrictive than the state gun laws.
Well, according to this article at WyomingGunOwners.org, what this place likes to do, the National League of Cities, one of the things they like to do is encourage mayors and city councils to pass gun laws that aren't legal in their state and then provide them with lawyers to fight it in court. And another thing that this organization, the National League of Cities, likes to do is help mayors and city councils find creative ways to add more taxes to bring in more city revenue. The reason we're mentioning this on a national show, you know, we are on in Casper and other places in Wyoming, but people should go to the National League of Cities website and see if their own mayors are involved in this, because this is the kind of thing now that happens a lot, where there's these really sinister things that are kind of in the background. And, you know, the politicians are never going to come out and say, yes, I'm a member of this Republican. Kanye Schlager is a Republican. Mm-hmm. And she's never going to say, you know, I'm in favor. I'm on the board, or I'm involved with this organization that wants to take your guns and raise your taxes. Right. But
which is why these political categories are completely misleading. Because not only is she a Republican, but she's a Republican in Casper, Wyoming. And Wyoming has the Firearms Freedom Act. So people tend to think of a Republican in Wyoming. They think, oh, well, they'll throw a federal agent in prison for infringing on gun rights.
And she grew up here. She's not a carpetbagger. She's not like some of the other people we've had on the city council. They've had on the city council there who come from New Jersey and they're professional politicians like the tyranny Marines sent to fill holes anywhere tyranny is needed. But she grew up here and she owns a gun, and she says that. And it's like, you know, people hear, oh, you're from here and you own a gun, you must be like me. But go to NLC.org, the National League of Cities, NLC.org, and poke around on there and see if your mayor or your city council is involved with this thing. It's horrible.
Yeah, it is really horrible. And this isn't the first example of Kanine Schlager taking away people's gun rights. She actually successfully passed a ban on lawfully armed citizens in Casper City Hall.
Yeah, now a lot of people would say, like, well, that makes sense. But you have to understand, in Wyoming, that's gun grabber. Like, we want to be able to take our guns into the city council meeting and into City Hall, and we used to be able to. And she banned it. And what did she say when someone said, well, hey, you can have a gun there too, anybody can have a gun?
This is really indicative of her mindset. This was when she was vice mayor. Kanine Schlager said, quote, when people say you should just have a gun in the meeting yourself, that doesn't work. What would the little 90-year-old lady think while she is trying to talk to us about a lien we are putting on her house because she's a hoarder? Ugh. End quote.
In other words, when the state wants to take your house because you have too many treasured memories. Yeah, we don't want you to see the gun. We want the gun to be hidden, the gun that's going to come with the sheriff to take your house away.
Yeah, and I can't tell if she's just not making the mental connection because she doesn't have the capacity to, or if she's being disingenuous here, because she surely must know that if she's putting a lien on a 90-year-old woman's home that the 90-year-old woman owns, then behind that lien, what's backing up that lien, are sheriff's deputies or city cops with guns to point at that 90-year-old lady.
Yeah. I mean, what did you say she does for a living?
She tells people to go point guns at people.
No,
for
but
a
her
living.
Her other job.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't she own an old folks home?
She runs one. Yeah.
That's not the kind of thing you want the owner of the old folks home in your town to be talking about, putting liens on 90-year-old women's houses.
Taking people's houses, which ends them up in an old folks home. Yeah. That seems like a conflict of interest to me.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to say that if I were her. Very, very much a conflict of interest in my head, at least, and either disingenuous or completely missing the point that what you're doing when you're sitting up there on the dais making rules and laws, that backing those up are men with guns.
Yeah.
And that sort of will bring us to the main theme of our radio show today on the Freedom Fiends, which is the monopoly of violence, which is a political term that can define what a state is.
Yeah.
And we're going to go into that. This is a perfect example of that. She's basically saying that you don't get to have a gun here in the city council because I am the city council. I get to have the monopoly.
I am the gun. I mean, exactly. There's always somebody with a gun in the city council meeting. There's always a sheriff or a deputy or a cop there with a gun. Mm-hmm. So the state wants to have the only gun in the room, the only gun that's seen. And even if there's not a gun in the room, they have a gun in the room because everything that they're writing down on paper is backed with guns. Because without the backing of the threat of a gun to your head, every law is just a suggestion that you would be free to ignore.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if it was just a group of people getting together and writing a bunch of silly legalese, E-E-Z-E, you know, the lube they use on you. If it was just a bunch of people doing that that didn't have the threat of force behind it, nobody would care. It wouldn't be covered on the nightly news in your city. People wouldn't go to the meetings. They would just write those people off as, oh, those crazy kooks in their sociology experiments. The sad thing, the sad truth of the modern nation state is those silly sociology experiments end up with with people actually being thrown in cages, getting SWAT raided, getting shot to death. It's just ridiculous. Or at the very least, getting money taken from them, the fruits of their labor extracted. And even if you don't put up much of a fight, it's still force and it's still illegitimate. And yet the definition of what we call the modern nation state is, quote, a monopoly on the legitimate use of physical force.
Yeah. And speaking of sociology, that term was coined by the father of sociology, Max Weber, who coined the phrase in his book, his 1919 book, Politics as a Vocation, which is basically a handbook for people like Kanye Schlager and people like the National League of Cities at NLC.org. And again, you should go to NLC.org and see what they're doing to you behind closed doors, but openly. Remember that. That's the thing now. Like, politicians used to hide in the shadows. Now they put their things that they're going to do on their websites, but they don't point you to the websites. The websites are only there for the people that are backing them and helping them. You have to go find them yourself. And NLC.org is a good place to find something you've never heard of that probably affects you. And people in your town are probably stealing tax money from you to spend on using it against you. So I'm going to play this little quote from Barack Obama when he was a senator. You know, basically when he went from, like, I think it was Model UN in high school directly to the Senate and then became president for a couple months and then became president. It was something like that. So this is him actually admitting the monopoly of violence, using that term. This is a term that, like, when I was a kid, like, Nixon never would use this term. LBJ never would use this term. They knew the term. They read books like this. They understood they had the monopoly of violence, but, and they understood that's what defines a nation state, but they'd never say it. Now they just say it. And this is Obama talking about how he doesn't want to have military contractors. He wants to have soldiers because military contractors for him blur the monopoly of violence, which I don't really understand, because if the government's pointing those contractors, they still have the monopoly of violence. But
yeah, it's just a different type of gun.
Here's Obama in the Model UN, I mean the U.S. Senate, talking about this.
I think you are privatizing something that is what essentially sets a nation state apart, which is the monopoly on violence. And to set those kinds of precedents, I think, will lead us over the long term into some troubled water.
Now, some people say that that's a good thing. There are people who defend that concept and say, well, if you didn't have a monopoly of violence or a monopoly on the, quote, legitimate use of force, then you'd have a bunch of people committing violence all the time and you'd have more net violence. We'll address that when we get back from the market here on the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks, you can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. Yeah, it's the Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidati out here in the Texas Hill Country. We've got Michael W. Dean out there in the wild Mountain West. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
It's windy today. You may actually hear wind in the background through my triple-ply windows of the Wormabago. Yes. It is very windy here today.
It's possibly going to be a very background noise-heavy radio show.
I want to hear your daughter.
I've got the baby in the other room. The wife's trying to set up a playpen for her, and she does not like to be left alone, even if something's being set up.
Let's see if we can hear the wind. Here, see if we can hear the wind. I'll put the mic at the window. Hear it?
Ah, yeah. It actually sounds like the white noise that we used to put the baby to sleep. Maybe that's why we won't be able to hear that and the baby at the same time.
Yeah, we found a channel. We went on the channel locator page on radiolocator.com, which is something we use often while looking for stations to be on. Yeah. And I found you an empty station to play for pink noise to put your baby to sleep.
Ah, yes, yeah. Yes. Because there are people on blogs that say white noise is really important, and that's one of the things that actually can soothe a baby's, or it actually triggers a baby's soothing reflex. That's why you're supposed to go shh, 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 and make a really loud shh noise when a baby's crying, is because it simulates what they kind of heard in the womb, which is like whooshing, you know, like the whoosh sounds that you always talk about how you hate them. They actually soothe babies. And some people say, well, you can put on a blow dryer, or you can also have these
videos
on YouTube. Yeah, blow dryer is going to suck up a lot of energy. We tried the white noise videos on YouTube, but they just don't get loud enough. So we actually plugged in a boombox that we used in the Guns and Weed documentary and turned it to a station that was dead air. Well, not dead air. It was static. And we just listened to the static, and we turned that up at night, and helps us all go to sleep and have a good night's rest. Well, as much as you can with a newborn baby.
I just heard the train go by. So,
and the train.
Yeah,
too,
and we could have an audio lesson a different day. And what you're actually hearing when you're talking about that is pink noise, not white noise. But we're talking about the monopoly of violence, which is what all governments define themselves by. And even if they don't know it, they define themselves by it. People define a government anywhere in the world as a monopoly of violence when they say things like, well, you have to obey the law because, you know, if you roll a traffic sign, you have to get a ticket because it's the law. And, you know, Ted Cruz saying that recently that Obama needs to enforce federal pot laws and bust pot users in Colorado. And, and even though it's legal now in the state because the people want it, he's saying, well, it's the law. Obama shouldn't be picking and choosing what laws. He has to go arrest those people, even though the state's rights have determined otherwise.
Right. That's really interesting to hear Ted Cruz talk about. I mean, yeah. I don't know much about him, but I assumed he would have been a 10th Amendment kind of guy.
He tries to be a small government Republican guy when he's trying to head towards the White House. But, you know, if that guy believes that, he also believes that in New York State you should be thrown in prison for having a normal size gun mag. So that's not the kind of people you want running your lives, man. That's the government monopoly of violence.
Right. And monopoly, here's the thing, is when you're a libertarian or even a philosopher, part of your mission is to try to find first principles, and you do that by figuring out what kind of moral principles you can universalize. You can do this mental exercise with lots of things. And when people think of a monopoly, is there anything good that people think of? Do people ever talk about monopolies in a good light, whether you're on the left or the right? It seems to be generally accepted that competition within society, free competition, is what leads to good things. People on the left who, you know, you generally don't credit with a lot of economic knowledge, even they complain about monopolies. And that's one of their biggest problems, is they think without the state, then you would have monopolies, which means they get it kind of backwards. But if that's the case, if nobody can think of a good example of where there should be a monopoly, why then have a monopoly on death? On violence? Why have a monopoly on such an important thing?
Yeah, and you know, most Republicans say that they're Christians and that those are their first principles, but it's not really very Christian. It's not loving your neighbor as you'd love yourself to throw him in prison for having some bag of some plant or having, you know, the means to protect mm-hmm. himself with a gun that has more than a 10-round mag, even though some other politician wrote down that you can't have that.
Right, right. When a mob of people brought Jesus an adulterer,
that
and
was
wanted
democracy.
To stone her.
Yeah.
And he denied them. He said, no, no, okay, fine. Any of you who are perfect and without sin, cast the first stone. Now, do this as a thought experiment. If it was a group of Roman soldiers instead of a mob of people, an unruly mob, if it was a group of Roman soldiers in full armor with full weapons and they said, well, we're going to put her up on the cross because she's an adulterer, do you think Jesus would have changed his tune? Do you think yeah. he would have said, okay, go ahead, sure, you've got
no.
due process on
and
your side.
And Jesus was killed by the government after a legal trial by soldiers and policemen acting within the confines of their job description, legally.
Exactly, exactly. And we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends in just a bit.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
What is it, Lily?
It
what
is Lily June Vidati's radio debut.
It sure is. She looks like she's angry at Obama.
She is.
What did Barack Obama do to you today, Lily?
He already stole like $60,000 from her.
He did, right? She's born in debt. Oh,
poor she's
Lily.
Upset about it. So yeah,
okay.
We're talking about the monopoly of violence, which is a term coined by 1919 by sociologist Max Weber, who was an influence on Ludwig von Mises, our libertarian influence. But Max Weber was not a libertarian. He was just an observer, and he was actually kind of a statist because he wrote this book, Politics as a Vocation, which was kind of a handbook for potential tyrants to more effectively tyrannize. Now, people say things like, well, the government doesn't have a full monopoly of violence because in some states you can rightfully use a gun for self-defense. You have castle doctrine in Wyoming and Texas and other states where if someone comes into your house, your home is your castle and you can pretty much do whatever you need to in your home. But the thing is, the government still has a monopoly on violence because they are the arbitrators of whether mm-hmm. or not you go to prison when you do that.
They still get to vet it. They get to decide if it's legitimate or not, which I think to be a real definition, I think what the state really has is the monopoly on the legitimizing of the use of physical force, because the state gets to end up deciding what force is legitimate or not. And, you know, even if you go back to the Ben Stone definition of the state and that the state is the mind state, it's this collective hallucination, then it's kind of like, well, people accept that legitimization, and that's really what the issue is that horizontal enforcement. It's that when people see a perp walk, they assume that the defendant is guilty before, and they want him to prove his innocence. They give the benefit of the doubt to the police officers, and they'll pretty much believe anything that the state says because they recognize implicitly in their head that the state gets to decide what force is legitimate and what force is not.
Yeah. And in the 1919 book, Politics as a Vocation, Max Weber also defined the three types of major categories of legitimate rule for political organizations. And they are traditional, the gift of grace and charisma, and statutes. Now, traditional is like the authority of the eternal past based on habit. Weber defines custom as largely patriarchal, patrimonial, the tradition in scope, you know, the founding fathers, the eternal, the history, the things written down on parchment, right, on sheepskin somewhere. The gift of grace or charisma is the authority of revelations, heroism, other leadership qualities of an individual, prophets, demagogues, and popular vote. So that's everything from, well, it's democracy. 51% of the people want you to not be able to have your little bag of herbs or your 11 round magazine for your self-protection gun. Or it's also things like, taken to extreme, it's like North Korea, like the god of the state, like literally, or saying that the founding fathers were put in place by God. And then there's also just statutes, which is just crap written down on paper by pencil neck bureaucrats who are backed by armies and police and other thugs running around with guns. And I would say that you pointed out that the United States is a perfect example of all three of these in action. How so?
Well, it really is. But what you were saying, that, well, I think we have all three, but I think the last two, grace, charisma, and statutes, are really predominant now. And I think on the surface they are, because, yeah, you have this cult of Obama. And even if you don't have the cult of Obama, people latch on to their favorite political personality. I mean, what is that old saying that politics is like Hollywood for ugly people? And it is. It's this celebrity popularity contest, and their personality, their charisma is really what gets people on board.
Well, kings and queens also are the gift of grace charisma type. I mean, anytime you've had a monarchy, and the United States allegedly separated from that, you know, with a violent revolution, was allegedly separating from having lineage determine who is the god of the state and allowing the people to choose it. But then the people like to have a great man or a great woman. They like to have that gallery of kings and queens, whether it's called that
they
or not.
Do. But here's the thing, is they'll fall back to the foundation of the traditional whenever that personality starts to wear out its welcome. You'll notice even somebody like Bill O'Reilly, when he's upset at something Obama does, he won't go too far because he'll say something like, well, we've still got to respect the office of the president.
Yeah.
So he makes an appeal back to that old traditional thing. And the same thing with the statutes is people tend to at least have a few statutes that infringe on their personal freedoms or their business relationships. I mean, there's something out there that pretty much everybody in society finds annoying, you know, whether it's going to get your license or going through all the rigmarole of getting some kind of haircutter's license or whatever it is you do. There's some aspect of the state that makes it difficult or at the very least annoying for you. So I think people tend to at least dislike some statutes. But then if you bring it up how ridiculous they all are, they'll fall back on some traditional thing. They'll say, well, who would build the roads? Or, hey, what about the founding fathers? They were here and we have this constitution. And if it just worked and we just got back to that old tradition, that America of the mind, as Michael calls it. So I think traditional is really what America falls back on, even when you shoot down the gift of grace, charisma, or the statutes.
Yeah, and if you want proof that the Constitution is not a perfect document handed down from God, you have to know that the Constitution of the U.S. has actually been tried in another country. There's a country in Africa called Liberia, which was founded by some of the founding fathers in America as a place to send freed slaves back to. It was kind of like when the slaves were freed, they were kind of like, a lot of the founding fathers that were still alive were like, well, you can't stay here. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here like they do when they're closing the bar at night. And they, you know, took over this country, this region in Africa, called it Liberia, named the capital of it is Monrovia.
James Monroe.
Yeah, who was the fifth president of the United States, who basically founded Liberia. And they sent slaves back there and put the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights into effect there. And basically what that country ended up was a failed state with child soldiers, which is not a good way to be. And we want to talk about failed states a little bit, because failed states is a definition of nations that one of the indicators of a failed state is it's any geographic region that does not maintain its monopoly of violence.
Yeah, yeah. So if a polity is failing to maintain the monopoly, i.e. there are non-state actors, which what are those called
The U.S. military abbreviation for non-state actors is NSA, which is kind of interesting.
That makes sense, right?
Yeah. Because another designator of a failed state, and this isn't like some libertarian saying this, this is like the State Department of the U.S. and the CIA, their definitions of a failed state. Basically, the definitions of a failed state, the indicators are unable to maintain their monopoly of violence, a shadow government, which I would say is happening in the U.S. with the NSA. Like the NSA is acting against the will of the government and the people and, you know, to an extent against Congress. Like, there are
members they can spy on Congress. Yeah. They told Bernie Sanders, you get the same protections as everybody else, which is zero, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And another indicator of a failed state is violations of human rights and, you know, a non-functioning or badly functioning economy, not having much or any or good relations with other nation states. And, you know, basically, there's a bunch of failed states in the world. There's something called the Failed State Index, which is something put together by the U.S. government. Somalia is a member of it. Eritrea, Iran, North Korea. Well, close enough.
I think it's put together by the Foreign Policy magazine, which might as well be.
But, yeah. Yeah. It's probably there's probably some U.S. money in that. And if there isn't, I'll bet every bureaucrat in the U.S. military subscribes to it. To the Foreign Policy magazine. Yeah, and there was
interesting thing about this year, though, is that here's one of the problems with the Failed State Index. If you go to Wikipedia, they actually changed the naming of the categories of where nations are at. It seems like almost every year, or at least every year since 2012, the past few years. And so – but now, if you look at the index now, America's not in the top tier. So America is not in one of the most stable country or stable places.
Yeah.
There's sustainable, stable, warning, and alert. And so America is stable. Canada is sustainable, which is the highest.
Yeah, and
interesting. Why would they put that?
One of the classic failed states when people mention a failed state is Somalia. And the reason a lot of failed states are failed is because of U.S. intervention, actually. And people always say, if you want to live without any government and lots of guns, move to Somalia, which is ridiculous because Somalia is not an anarchy. It's not an absence of government. It's actually a failed socialist government with competing warlords who are a lot of them are funded by the U.S. government to kill the people they want the U.S. to kill. Now, I watched the movie Black Hawk Down again. I hadn't watched it since it came out. I watched it the other day. It's a great movie. It's a great war movie. It actually came out 3 months after 9/11 and was used to help sell Bush's need to invade Iraq, which is kind of interesting. It was kind of considered a patriotic movie. It was also considered a racist movie by a lot of leftists because it was basically a bunch of black people shooting at a bunch of white people. But that's what it was. It was like that's the country. And it was, you know, mostly white U.S. Army Rangers going in to try to kidnap this horrible warlord who was starving people. And, okay, I think this movie is the reason people say, if you want to live without the government and lots of guns, move to Somalia, because that term didn't come out until this movie came out. And one of the first scenes in this movie is like, you know, the town square, the market with people setting up booths there, selling things in the market. And they're selling like bananas. And then the next kiosk, they're selling AK-47s. And, a libertarian paradise, you'd probably have that. But you also had that in Somalia. So people conflate it and say, well, there's no government there. And everyone's shooting at the Americans all the time, which pretty much was happening. But you said if you want a more accurate view of Somalia now, go watch the movie Dirty Wars.
Yeah, go watch Jeremy Scahill in Dirty Wars, who actually spent a lot of time in Somalia. I think he wrote a great piece, maybe it was published in The Nation, because I think he writes for them, called Blowback in Somalia, which basically goes on a history of why the reason Somalia is a failed state is because of Washington, D.C.'s chain of interventions. And if you watch in the movie, in the documentary, there's a scene where he's talking to a horrible warlord, who you see is horrible. He's talking about how he kills people daily. And the warlord tells him, we learned this from the Americans. Americans are the war masters. So that kind of sums it up right there. We'll be back with more fiends in just a bit.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
Back with plenty more fiend goodness. How's it going, Freedom Fiends? I am Nima Vidati out here in the Texas Hill Country. We've got Michael W. Dean out there in the Great Plains tearing it up in the Wormabago. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
It's going good, man. And if you want to live with lots of guns and no government, move to Merca. What does that mean?
Well, I Google Map because we were trying to figure out if Eritrea, which we're about to talk about next, borders Somalia. And actually, it's separated by Djibouti, which I think is actually pronounced Djibouti. But Djibouti? I pronounce it Djibouti.
Yes,
like a digital
I did.
Booty.
Yes, I did.
I did, indeed. And it's not. But in Somalia, I looked at Mogadishu and I was like, oh, there's a town southwest of Mogadishu, the next town over on the coast. It's called Merca.
Yeah.
Merca.
So, it's a lovely
Merkan involvement in Somalia.
A lovely seaside town in Somalia.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're into nice white sandy beaches, AKs sold openly next to bananas and occasional piracy, move to Merca. Yeah.
You know, back before Walmart stopped being as cool as they were, they probably sold bananas and AKs in some of their stores.
Where?
Walmart
they
used to sell rifles.
They used to sell Bushmaster AR-15s, but they stopped because somebody got killed with one, and some gun grabbers said, we're not going to shop there anymore. Not that gun grabbers shop there anyway. Yeah.
It's like the bar that stopped selling alcohol because one of their customers got in a drunk driving accident.
Yeah. So Eritrea, this is kind of interesting because I'd never even heard of this country until last week, which is, and you know, I'm a little more worldly than most Americans, I would say. I pay more attention. I can sort of pronounce things. You know, people say, you're a terrorist because you can pronounce the names over there. No, it's, you got to know. You got to know what's going on in the world. You can't just say, all those Muslims are bad and should be bombed back to the Stone Age. They're already kind of in the Stone Age because America's bombed them back there so many times. And a lot of these countries are about half Muslim and about half Christian. So
it's, yeah, because a lot of them were borders created by imperial powers over tea or crumpets or whatever.
So if you're just people eat. If you just want to bomb these countries back to the Stone Age, you're going to be bombing a lot of Christians too. But Eritrea is another one of these failed states that's. It's really horrible. And here's what happened. They had a revolution. They, like Somalia, were owned by Italy. Not a lot of people know that. Somalia used to be Italy, owned by Italy. But they had a revolution. Actually, their Independence Day is my birthday, May 24th. I'll say that's my birthday. I have different birthdays, what I say on the air. It's around there. But they had a revolution, and it was backed by the people. And the people were like, loved the people who fought the revolution because they were freeing them from Italy. And as soon as they were freed, those people started acting like Stalin or Hitler. Those people just had a single party system, started killing their own people, started jailing anybody who dissented, started taking over all the media, and basically conscripted any male between about 16 and 60 for an indefinite period of time. And right now, the only economy in Eritrea is the military. And people try to sneak out of there.
How does that make any sense? How is that sustainable at all unless they're looting and plundering constantly?
They are.
Just awful. Yes, and to get a better sense, their media, their press freedom, as determined by a group that goes out and does that, like some kind of volunteer media reporting group, ranked them last, below
North Korea.
178 out of 178. Yes, that means they have less press freedom in Eritrea than they do in North Korea.
Let's play a little bit of this interview, just a little bit of this woman from Eritrea who now lives in Israel. Her this is called What Eritrea Has Become.
You have to do your national service. So if you are to be in the capital city, then you have to have permission from the military camp that you came to visit your family. So then you have maximum a month. Probably that's, if you are lucky, every 2 years, so it could be 3 years. So to see that nobody is fleeing from the military camp, so there is a soldier, military police almost every corner where you would be asked for ID, and it used to remind me of the films, you know, from the Holocaust where...
Reminds her of the films of the Holocaust where there's Gestapo on every corner, she says. That's Eritrea. We'll be back with
and
more.
And that's actually Maron Estefanos. So she's a political activist. So she might have her own axe to grind, but still, it's interesting to hear. And that's the only voice I've heard out of Eritrea. Like you said, most people don't even know where that is or how to pronounce it. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
It's interesting, too. There's a lot of broken English comments going back and forth, complaining about various things about her on there that seem like they're going back to tribal beefs that may be hundreds or thousands of years old.
That we have not heard of.
That are now on on YouTube. You can watch Tribal Beefs on YouTube.
There you go. We'll be back with more.
What a time to
delicious.
Be what a time to be alive.
Yes, yes, thank you.
Delicious tribal beef coming up in hour two of the Freedom Fiends.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
All right, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show on this beautiful weekend day, at least where I'm at. I'm in the Texas Hill Country, just north of Austin by like less than a mile in Round Rock, Texas. We've got Michael W. Dean over there in the Wormabago, but he's focusing on his map right now. He needs to make sure he can look at his GPS and drive and doesn't need the microphone in his face. So he's indisposed for the next 20 or 30 seconds or so. So what we were talking about in the first hour, which if you missed, you can go to freedomfiends.com. All our archives are there. They're all free. You can listen to any show we've ever done ever. Even the shows that aren't really shows, that are just musical extravaganzas or outtakes. You can all see those at freedomfiends.com. But we were talking about the monopoly of violence, which is one definition of the modern nation state.
Yeah!
Also called the monopoly on the legitimate use of force. And we started off in the first hour, we played a clip of Barack Obama saying that using military contractors actually lessens the legitimacy of the monopoly of violence because you don't have soldiers doing it. So it seems like, well, maybe the government isn't having a monopoly, right? Because, look, you got these private companies like Blackwater or Z or whatever they call themselves
right now.
Who?
Top men.
Top men, yeah. Either way, though, it's the top men deciding who gets paid. So to me, it doesn't make any difference. Even if you call it private, if you're paying through a different channel, but you're still paying somebody to do the same thing with the same money that you got from the same funding, i.e. stealing it from taxpayers, it's still a state action. It doesn't degrade the monopoly of force. It just means somebody else is getting a check.
Look what Obama's done to you today. What's Obama done to you today, Nima?
Same thing he does every day, Michael. Try to take over the world. Yeah. Like he's Pinky in the frickin' Brain here. But yeah, so privatization, at least when the liberals attack it, That has nothing to do with the free market, right? So the government paying Blackwater to go do some dirty deed that they didn't want the army to do because Blackwater actually may be more efficient at it at some things, that has nothing to do with the free market because the payment, the money that is going to pay those people has nothing to do with the free market. It's all coming from coerced taxes.
Yeah.
Same thing with private prisons. Yep. People complain about privatization and they point to the private prison industry as a good example of, well, this is what happens when you privatize things. But no, the government's still paying for those contracts. It's just that the people who do it are for-profit companies, but they're still in the employ of the government. So really, how is that anything to do with the free market? It's not.
Yeah, and in a lot of dystopian fiction, even movies that we like, things like, you know, Rollerball and all that good stuff from the 70s that takes place in the not-too-distant future where it's kind of an anti-utopia. A lot of times the situation is basically that the governments have been replaced by one or two giant corporations that are killing everybody and ruling everybody. And that really couldn't happen without governments because big business can exist without governments, but corporations as we know them now and the things that corporations do that are evil, like dumping battery acid into your river like they did in West Virginia this week. There's like 8 counties that can't drink the water.
Really?
And I would bet that that's going to be a big hassle for anyone to get any kind of remuneration for that. That couldn't happen without governments. And, you know, it's kind of ironic, too, because they're actually, you know, people don't like tree hugger protesters, you know, people who are right wing or whatever. But, you know, that kind of division doesn't really exist in any kind of real way. Left ring, left ring, right ring.
Kiss the white ring.
Yeah, because that doesn't exist in any kind of real way because basically it's people and forces that people can't go against and can't do anything about. You know, it's those who want to rule and those who want to be ruled versus those who want to be free and those who don't want to be free. Yeah. And I mean, right well, now,
a perfect example is that meme that that's on the Freedom Fiends podcast or radio show page on Facebook. It's a picture of that hippie girl that's always in the memes with the dreadlocks.
Yeah,
kind of looks like a younger, prettier Janine Garofalo. And on the left side is a dude who looks like a college Republican. You know, he's like on the steps of
the
Congress.
Young Republicans.
He's got a red tie. Yeah, president of the young Republicans. And the top says, think they're complete opposites. But on each side, what they really both want is the exact same thing. It's they want the government to do to inflict their will on the rest of the people. That's what they both want.
Yeah. And there's one of the indicators of a failed state. And this is something that Condoleezza Rice actually made famous. She didn't come up with it, but it's called the town square test. And the town square test is basically a test of human rights. And it is in a certain geographic region. Can you go to the town square and openly criticize, just start talking about the government and criticizing it without being jailed or shot? And that's supposed to be a test of a failed state. I would say America is starting to fail that test. For instance, they're starting to... When people protest companies that do things like dump battery acid into a river, they are starting to arrest those people and charge them under terrorism charges, which means you go to a prison, you sit there for a long time without a trial, you can't contact the media. You know, it's kind of like Gitmo, but you're in a federal prison waiting to be tried. They're doing that in America with people who simply protest being poisoned by corporations that are in bed with the government. Our friend Ian Freeman was recently threatened with arrest in New Hampshire for going and handing out jury nullification pamphlets inside the courthouse. And that's a state, it's the only state where it's actually legal to address a jury and tell them about jury nullification, which is where the jury doesn't only judge whether or not, you know, they don't only decide whether or not the person's guilty of what they're charged with, but they can actually weigh that with charging whether the thing should actually be a crime.
Right, right.
And he was charged. He was threatened by state officers with being charged with solicitation, which is solicitation is something different. That's where you're trying to sell something for profit. And that same thing was used in Connecticut, where they recently passed laws against having what are called assault weapons, you know, scary black rifles. They recently did something really sleazy in Connecticut. They outlawed having that kind of gun, but they didn't make it public, very public. I mean, it was on a public website somewhere. It's that thing of like the government does something in a back room, puts it on a website that no one looks at and says, all right, now it's made public notice. And they gave them like 2 weeks to line up and register their guns. And if they didn't do that, they were suddenly felons. And Mike Vandebau, who we've had on the show before, some people from his organization, Sipsy Street Irregulars, went up to Connecticut and peacefully walked up to those people standing in line and tried to hand them pamphlets on gun rights. Those people were threatened with getting arrested for solicitation. So there's this new thing of like, if you try to practice the First Amendment in America, you get threatened with jail, or you get jailed, or you get jailed under treason laws or terrorism laws. So I would say America is becoming a failed state because it's failing the town square rule, which is the town square test.
Well, that language too, soliciting. What do you think of when you think of soliciting? You think of a sign on somebody's home's front door
prostitute.
That says, no solicitors. Well, yeah that too. But I think of that sign that says no soliciting, right? You know, in front of a private business or a private home. It kind of displays the myth of public property, right?
Yeah.
The state is thinking of those things as under the ownership of the leaders of the state, of those in power. Whereas the average mind-numb statist thinks of public property as, oh, we all own it. It's just as much mine as it is yours. Well, you don't get to put a sign up that says no soliciting and kick out solicitors as an individual unless you own it. So the people arresting those people, they think of themselves as the owners or the enforcers of the owners of that. It's not yours. It's the government's. The government is different from the people. Private or public property is a myth.
Yeah, there's a really horrible article in Rolling Stone magazine that I think we're going to talk about at length on the Wednesday show coming up. But people should go look this up. It's called Five Economic Reforms That Millennials Should Be Fighting For. It's written by an Occupy Wall Street guy. And it's basically telling young voters that they should be trying to get their politicians to point their government guns at absolute straight up communism. I mean, this list of five economic reforms are basically like, everyone should own everything. Landlords shouldn't be in charge of things. Guaranteed work for everybody. Take back the land. Make everything owned by everybody. Now, basically, okay, I could argue all of that on a moral standpoint. Basically, that's stealing. That says the government's going to have to take your stuff and redistribute it. But even not just on a moral standpoint, on a, like, does it work standpoint, I would say that when the government owns everything, they don't let anybody own any of it. And a perfect example is how they're cracking down on public property, on people having the First Amendment, you know, addressing their government for grievances, having free speech with their neighbors. When the government owns that everything, nobody can really use anything.
Right, right. Like, did the average peasant in the Soviet Union own the Kremlin just as much as Stalin did?
Yeah, I mean,
think about that. Did he?
Yeah, technically, everyone in North Korea owns everything. You know, the party owns everything.
And there's nothing to own in North Korea. Yeah, that's what happened.
Well, there is, but, you know, I mean, the Politburo of North Korea, or whatever they're called there, the politicians, the high military ranking members and high ranking party members, they're not starving. They have things. And that's how it was in Russia,
too,
man.
They still don't have things that are as nice as the things that the poor people in America have.
Yeah.
And America isn't even libfare. It's not even the bastion of freedom.
But the Soviet Union had stuff. The Soviet Union had vast wealth that had been built up under the czars. And was suddenly just owned by the high member of the party, the high member of the military.
Yes. That then decayed over decades of this kind of kindergarten economics that you call socialism. The kind of kindergarten economics that Jesse A. Meyerson thinks he's being edgy when he brings back in his Rolling Stone article.
Yeah.
And these points are just silly.
When Russia collapsed, when the Soviet Union collapsed, all that stuff got sold off in the gray market out the back door by those same military people. And that's why there are so many decommissioned or single fire only AKs in America and Mosin Nagants in America, because those people just sold it all off in a scramble because they had to make a living when the paycheck stopped coming. And that'll happen in America sooner or later. I want to get one of those tanks that all the towns have now. They're buying for $2,000.
Bearcat?
Yeah.
MRAP? Yeah, me too. I'll have three. We'll have two MRAPs in every garage. All right, we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends in just a bit.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Right, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. Before the jump, we were talking about Jesse A. Meyerson's kindergarten fantasies of what millennials apparently need to be fighting for, because he has so low esteem for the millennial generation, apparently, that he thinks this kind of hogwash will be taken up and some kind of bitter political fight will be fought, as he says at the end. Things like guaranteed work for all, which he means enforced by the state. Now, I think there could be guaranteed work pretty much for all, you know, depending on your definition of guarantee.
Get rid of the government.
Get rid of the minimum wage. Get rid of the government. Get rid of licensure. Get rid of minimum wage. Get rid of every barrier to entry, because there's so many barriers to entry that benefit the rich and hurt the poor. If you really want to help the poor, let them compete on even ground with the rich. Let the dude from the ghetto who's really has a really good – is really adept, has an aptitude for helping people feel better, let him compete with the doctor from Long Island who went to the best medical school but is lazy and doesn't really care. Let them compete one-on-one. Why not?
Yeah, and if you want to live with lots of guns and very little government, move to Merca. We discovered that there's a town called Merca in Somalia.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, but the thing is, these things like guaranteed work for everybody, make everybody own everything equal, Social Security for all, take back the land, they all require what a nation state rests on, which is the monopoly of violence. They require one political entity to have all the guns and be able to point it with people cheering and saying that it's legitimate wherever they want it pointed. And so that's really the root. That's what we're radical against.
And America's kind of freaking out, because America tried to have a monopoly of violence in the world before with nukes, and then everybody got nukes. And now they're trying to have a monopoly of violence with drones. And pretty soon, you know, China's probably going to turn all their AK factories and all the factories they're churning out all the little plastic crap they're selling in Walmart. They're going to turn all those factories into drone factories, too. And America's not going to have a monopoly on violence with drones. And think about drones. Think about the idea of how it's like, America gets to be the angry Old Testament God, being able to see all and instantly met out punishment to anybody. And you were talking about some Project Zeus, which is an upcoming or in the works.
No, Project Thor.
Thor, which was throwing thunderbolts.
A paper from the Air Force started in 2003, I think the paper came out. But yeah, the project is something like 20-foot long, 6-foot diameter tungsten rods that can be shot from space. Yeah, basically think of a tree trunk, a metal tree trunk falling on you, a telephone pole falling on you from space.
Oh, and being like all the force. Being on fire by the time it hits the ground and just melting everything around it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they said, I don't know if this was theoretical or testing, but they said it would achieve speeds of Mach 10. So this thing would be flying from space at you faster than a jet plane flies.
Yeah, and pretty much these days, every little small town has an MRAP, because the government is selling these $150,000 to $250,000 tanks with wheels to local sheriffs in towns where they don't need them for like $2,000 through the Department of Homeland Security. And my son, who's in the Army, actually made a comment on him. He said, "Don't worry, MRAPs are pieces of crap." We call them
M-craps.
Yeah. Yeah. But they can still knock down your door with them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd still, I still wouldn't want one, you know, coming after me.
I want one. I can't wait until the United States collapses all of the local bureaucrats start selling everything off Soviet style. And, you know, you can trade like a pack of cigarettes for an M-rap or something.
Yeah,
some pantyhose. Trade some pantyhose and some Benzedrine from your ration kit to the local sheriff.
That brings up a good point. Yeah, if the government sold off all of its so-called possessions, all of its so-called public property,
everyone
which is
would
really
be
not because it's a myth. Yeah, and then, hey, you know, then this Rolling Stone guy would have his wish. Everything would be owned by everything, by everybody. If everything was owned by everybody, it would all be private property. So in a way, we kind of want the same thing. He just thinks that you use a monopoly of force and that we all share it.
The math would probably, you know, with the amount of land that the federal government owns, it would probably work out to, instead of like 40 acres and a mule, it would probably work out to like 40,000 acres in an MRAP for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, what I don't remember the exact statistic, but isn't it like 3% of the landmass of the United States is actually inhabited in any density by people?
Yeah, in the Mountain West, like about 50% of this whole time zone is owned by the federal government, and the parts then and like 10% of what isn't is owned by the state governments too. Yeah, like Wyoming really could house. I don't like to say this on the radio because I don't like to give them any ideas, but like Wyoming could house and provide fuel for everything.
Yeah. When people talk about overpopulation, I just say, go live in Wyoming for a year. Come back and talk to me about overpopulation. Yeah. And Wyoming, I mean, think about Alaska. Alaska's way less population dense than Wyoming. We'll be back with more fiends in just a bit.
The fiends hurling bolts of truth from the sky at you.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Yeah, man. Set the controls for the heart of the sun. It's time for more Freedom Fiends.
A roaring crane here in Binach, death in the fiery hole in the cannon of Hina Bin, and the Ven Crane.
That was me speaking Pictish, imitating the Pink Floyd song. Several species of small furry animals gathered together in a cave and grooving with a Pict, but we're not going to talk about that now. We're going to talk about the U.S. Army War College, which is one of the few things that hasn't been, what'd you say that they do with names of things, Nima?
Orwellianized.
Yeah, like they used to call.
You speak dictionary.
Yeah, the Department of Defense used to be called the Department of War.
War.
But there is something called the U.S. Army War College, and a study from there recently noted that in an increasingly multipolar world, rapid advances in technology and globalization have dangerously empowered non-state actors. Remember, their abbreviation for that is NSA. Non-state actors who compete for legitimacy with states and undercut long-held constructs of national autonomy and sovereignty.
Yeah, that sounds like a good thing. That's the space on the roulette table that we're placing our bets on.
That sounds like a good thing to me.
It's good to hear. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, but the beginning of that part is, he said, Weber's theory has been questioned due to a rise in wars involving non-state actors. Recent examples include the Iraq War, the Arab Spring, and the Syrian Civil War. In these cases, no clear victor with a monopoly on violence has emerged. A characteristic of recent wars is a disruption or loss of the state monopoly of violence, as it can neither adequately be exercised nor can the rule of law be maintained. According to numerous scholars, we have apparently entered an era of new wars. They are often called internal, intrastate, local, regional, civil wars, low-intensity conflicts, etc., And it is uncontested that the majority of these conflicts during the last few decades have not been interstate, but actually intrastate wars. And, you know, the United States is kind of freaking out about that. They don't know who the enemy is anymore. And there's a lot of places where they shouldn't be involved, and they're over trying to establish a puppet state or a monopoly of violence, and then put in someone like, what'd you say about the president?
The mayor of Kabul?
Yeah.
Hamid Karzai? Yeah. They call him the mayor of Kabul for a reason, because he can't project power. He's supposed to be the leader of the monopoly of violence in Afghanistan, but obviously he's not. Any power he has, he gets from the American influence.
Yeah, I mean, Kabul is basically a U.S. military base. So he's basically the mayor of an American army base.
Yeah.
There's no real like monopoly of violence power in Afghanistan. There never has been, and there probably never will be.
Right.
Like historically, like the Russians tried all the way back to Rommel, all the way back to Alexander. Nobody's been able to conquer that region externally.
Well, and there was a recent report, I forget who it was, but it was some kind of internal government report about how, well, when we leave Afghanistan, it's all going to devolve and probably the Taliban will gain power again. But even if we stay in Afghanistan, it's still all going to devolve. So basically, Afghanistan is a loss at this point. I don't know. If I were some kind of commander in chief, I would probably just decide to take my ball and go home, because who wants to be the person who dies or whose buddy dies in a war that is known to everybody as a failing endeavor? I mean, what's the point? It's literally having your life thrown away for no reason, as the brain would say in Futurama.
No reason. Yeah. No, I mean, who wants to defend some pile of rocks and goats that really the United States has no truck, no play, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the thing about having monopolies of violence, and the fact that their legitimacy in that paragraph about how things are devolving to where other things are gaining legitimacy, I mean, that's really what we want, because having a monopoly on violence, to me, is illegitimate by that very statement. So I think what needs to happen is people need to stop considering violence, or aggression at least. Maybe not violence. Let's make a distinction there. So violence is force. Violence can be like a boxing match or a football game, and that's just fine because it's consensual, so it's not aggression. But when you look at things like the non-aggression principle, that's sort of our first principle, is we don't want people to be aggressed upon, and at the very least, we want people to recognize that aggression as illegitimate. So if you call us anti-state, we come to that conclusion as a result of the first principle. Being anti-state is not our first principle. So the people, the rebel groups, the Islamic State of the Levant, all these people fighting in Syria, the Taliban, everybody fighting in Afghanistan, the Northern Alliance, they're just as illegitimate when they use force or aggression as is Washington, D.C. or Paris or whoever is going on these imperial rants or rampages across North Africa, the Middle East, or wherever they're at.
You know, I think it's kind of telling that Obama actually used the term monopoly of violence as a good thing, as something he wanted to maintain, because a lot of politicians aren't even aware enough of what they're doing to know that they're that evil. And Obama actually went to college to become president, I think. You know, he studied... He read Max Weber's book, obviously, Politics as a Vocation, because he wanted to have politics as a vocation.
He took classes where the professors had read it and taught him the points.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of politicians, especially at the local level, kind of emulate the desire to have the monopoly of violence, but probably don't understand it. You know, like Kanine Schlager in Casper, the mayor who now wants to be on the city council and help gun grab and raise taxes from there while being a Republican and looking like a small government person. You know, I really doubt she even knows the term monopoly of violence, you know, because you just kind of fall into this stuff in the local aspect. And then what happens is people who understand the monopoly of violence and want to increase it, like the National League of Cities, come in and say to small town mayors and you know, city councils, we'll help you. Here's our guidelines. Let us put you on this board. Let us help you. And they don't even use the term monopoly of violence. But, you know, they're backed by George Soros. He knows about the monopoly of violence. He owns one. He owns a few of them.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me like if people are going to fight for any sort of principle, if there's supposed to be some kind of philosophical battle, it should be the fight that, hey, aggression is never legitimate, no matter if it's done by a state or an individual. And you can say that because aggression means there's no consent and there's no self-defense. It's the initiation of aggression that we're talking about here. And so I really think that if people could hold that and could think of, as we've said in other casts, could think of state actors who aggress upon people as being just as disgusting, just as worthy of their of disgrace as a child molester or as a serial killer or a mass murderer, then people wouldn't put up with it for very much longer.
Yeah, and you know, the Freedom Fiends, we often joke about like, yeah, listen soon before we get droned. But you know, that's an actual possibility that at some point the government will get sick of this kind of free speech and outlaw it in some way or another. Maybe not drone us, maybe jail us, maybe just make it impossible to be on the radio, maybe try to have a license for bloggers and kick us off the radio and they have you licensed to be a podcaster or partner with some kind of, you know, with Google or other organizations to like make it so it's harder for people to find you, or you know, do some kind of reverse net neutrality to hide speech so it's out there and they can say, oh, it's still out there, but you can't find it, or you know, the bandwidth is slow, something like that. And I would say that we said before that the United States is starting to fail the town square test, you know, where, I mean, I guess you can go to most town squares and just start criticizing the government and stand there for a minute and get away with it and not get shot or jailed. But more and more here and there, there are examples of where it's failing. But I think that for some extent, the United States likes to still be able to point at free speech, as the U.S. really likes to trumpet that they are not on the failed state list, that they're lower down on it. But actually, you said we're not at the U.S. is not at the top of it anymore, right? Canada is at the non-failed state.
Yeah, according to Foreign Policy Magazine's failed state index, there's four categories, the top being sustainable. The second tier is called stable, and the United States is in that second tier. So they don't even make the top tier anymore. The top tier includes Canada, most of the Scandinavian countries, what my wife calls the NSF countries, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Germany, Australia, New Zealand. But America, Argentina, Mongolia, Britain, France, Spain, all those countries are a tier down in what's called the stable tier.
Yeah. So what would you say about to people who want to play devil's advocate and say, okay, so you don't think the government should have a monopoly on violence. Doesn't that just mean everyone would be being violent all the time? What would be in place to prevent that?
Well, I think the thing is that I like to remember is if you take a look at statistics, the numbers of when that violence or that force is actually used and causes death, destruction, maiming of people, state actors by far outweigh any private individual or private organization's crimes. When you look at the democide statistics, something like a quarter of a billion people killed in the 20th century alone outside of war – by states, by people who say that their use of force is legitimate. You could never point to a number even close to that high by any kind of private individuals in history. So I would say first look at the fact that states usually are the ones who do the horrible things, not private individuals. Look at your neighbors, look at your friends, look at the organizations, the societies you're in, and do you see people who you think would just go on murderous rampages the day the state ended? If some kind of beautiful libpair button appeared and me and Michael pressed it, do you think that the average person would go out and just start murdering? I don't think they would.
No.
Because I think, A, people know that there's risk involved, right? If you go out and try to gat somebody for their cash, there's a chance that you're going to get gatted back and you're going to be the one who ends up in the gutter bleeding. I think people internalize that. At least they would by any time people are smart enough to realize that the state needs to be shed, they will be smart enough to realize that there's that risk involved. There's
also costs. I think that any kind of big organization, like a big company, would realize it would cost them way more to hire an army, deal with the media pushback, because I think there would still be lots of media like you have now, the dispersed media, the non-mainstream media, who would report on horrible atrocities. A company would lose all their customers if they did something like go and blow up their competitor's factory. So I think there's lots of disincentives that are natural to human society and human natural law that would prevent people from doing that. The problem is that states bypass that by using things like nationalism and patriotism to say, well, if we do this, this is not only rational but good. When we do violence, it's legitimate and you should praise it and wave your flag. If you got rid of the legitimization of violence, I think you'd have a lot less of it.
Worms.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. All right, folks, it's time for the Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review.
Yay. Tweak and Review.
You got a jingle for us, or are we going to jump right into it, Mr.
Just
Dean?
Jump right into it.
All right, we're going to jump right into it. So, first off, you out there in Radio Land need to check and see if your city government's goons are part of the National League of Cities. Go to nlc.org. See if they're a part of that group. The reason we say that is that group has some very illegitimate aggression practices, I guess I could call it. For instance, they have some very gun-grabby stances, gun registration, gun bans, various things like that. And even when those things are illegal by the legal definitions of the states or the federal government, they encourage city governments to enact these kinds of things anyway, and then the NLC, this organization, will help you legally. They'll help you in your legal battle for you to go ahead and violate the law. Very, very underhanded, dirty baseball kind of stuff. So if you want to avoid that or at least call it out, which I think is very important, go and check and see if your city council members, your mayors, your city controller, your board of supervisors, if you live in San Francisco, check and see if they're part of the National League of Cities.
Yeah, and if they are, then go to your town square and call them out on it and see if your town fails the town square test. If you get arrested or threatened with arrest for pointing out that they're violating your rights.
Yes, and pointing it out, that's so important. I think that's the whole point, man, because states, governments, if you want to use them interchangeably, states can be defined as, quote, the monopoly on the legitimate use of force. That was the definition by Max Weber, a political scientist.
I think it was violence, wasn't it?
Well, the shorthand is monopoly of violence. The longhand, I think, is the monopoly on the legitimate use of force.
Okay.
You can check the wiki. Yep. I might be wrong on that last word.
You're right.
Okay. So really what it boils down to is the state is really
the state wants to be able to kill you. The state wants to be able to kill you whenever they can. And, you know, anybody who thinks, I love my country, they love me too. You know what? Your federal government, your state government, your local government, if they want your property, they will kick you out of your house, give you a few cents on the dollar, and bulldoze your house. They will do that in every case if they feel like doing it.
And more important than the fact that they do it is they legitimize
it's
it.
In
I
the
think
Constitution.
That's really what it boils
it's
down to.
It's in the Constitution.
Yep. They will legitimize it, and people will buy it. That's really what the state is. It's this mindset of legitimizing this force, these wrongdoings, this airbrushing of barbarism, as Sheldon Richman calls it. It's the legitimization reflection of all these awful acts. And I think the most important intellectual battle in the world right now, the battle that we're fighting, is pointing it out, is pointing out that there's no separate moral category for determining the legitimacy of force, right? Aggression by your neighbor is in the same moral category as aggression by Officer Friendly, no matter how you slice it, no matter what. You don't get a pass for wearing a badge. You don't get a pass for being elected by secret ballot, as Lysander Spooner would call it. If the species could get that basic point, they would realize that the criminals in Washington, D.C. are the same as the prisoner beheaders fighting against Assad in Syria. They're the same as Assad in Syria fighting against the prisoner beheaders. Headers. They're all people trying to legitimize their own use of force, their own murders, their own thefts.
Yeah, and when you criticize it in the town square, they're trying to outlaw that. They're slowly outlawing that. So they're going to outlaw that in the town square of the internet sooner or later, and the radio before that. So if you like what you're hearing here, go to freedomfiends.com. That's freedom, then Foxtrot Echo Echo November Sierra, FEENS.com. Click on the link about the torrents, the torrent club up in the right hand corner, and start torrenting and saving all of our episodes so you can trade them with your friends after we get taken off to the gulags for telling the truth.
Yeah, the state is the illegitimate brainchild of incorrect thinkers who've made errors in their decision making. That's all it is. And what we're trying to do is say, no, that's wrong. You don't have to think of the state in any kind of good terms. They're not your federal family. We're trying to point that out. You should be doing the same thing. Keep listening to the fiends. Keep finding freedom in your own life. This is Nima Vedati and, of course, Michael W. Dean. Say bye to the folks.
There's no difference between Obama and Kenneen Schlager. They're the same kind of people. They're the same species. They just want to control you. And Joseph Stalin. Yep. Worms.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.